All right, sounds great, Star.
Got it.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Troy Halliburton from truthaboutit.net, covering the Wizards. Joined on the other line by my guy, Mike Sykes from Bullets Forever. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good, bro. Thanks for having me.
Man, of course, man. When I got the podcast and I realized that I was going to be the host, I wanted to make sure that I'm bringing on, you know, quality DC sports content providers. And the first name that came to my mind was my guy, Mike. You know, I met you a couple of years ago going down to Wizards games. We sit in the media room just chopping it up. So, you know, I mean, it's been the best of times and it's been the worst of times.
Oh, for sure. The best of times. With that. I mean, that's a generous way of explaining it, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, but I do love the fact that we've kind of built up our little Bloggers Row community.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, we've gotten a chance to, you know, go out and hang out outside of the arena. You know, it's good to, like, build relationships with people. And, you know, sometimes you go down there covering a team that doesn't win a lot of games, it can get a little depressing.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's the great part of Bloggers Row, right, is that we're all always there to kind of walk each other through these miserable dog days of the season in recent Wizards history.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, though? I feel like you and I are probably some of the more optimistic guys amongst the Wizards Twitter sphere. And some of the optimism that I have right now stems from the draft pick of Rui Hachimura. I know that a lot of people were, you know, not really satisfied. Some people wanted to go out and get, you know, Cam Reddish. Some people wanted to go out and get Sekou Doumbouya. And a lot of people were very shocked when the Wizards drafted Rui Hachimura. From what you've seen from Summer League so far, what do you think about Hachimura's game and his possible fit with the Wizards?
I think so there are two ways that I kind of go with this, right? Like, Hachimura is kind of what we thought he was coming in, right? Like, he is somewhat of a bucket. Like, he is an offense-first player who specializes in the mid-range. And, like, I've gone everywhere from, like, seeing the Kawhi Leonard comparisons and being like, oh, maybe that could be a thing for him, and then realizing that's totally ridiculous, to going, like, as far down as, like, I don't know, somebody like Al Harrington, like, just, like, everywhere on the spectrum, right? But, like, I think what he showed us this summer league, right, like, he averaged, what, I think it was 19.3 points per game or stuff like that. He had a 59% true shooting percentage. So, like, there's something there, right? There's some type of skill player there. And at 21 years old, he has a ton of room to grow. He just started playing basketball at, what, 16 years old in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's gotten literally better every year. So, like, the one thing that I try to think of whenever I watch this dude is that, like, we're not even close to watching the finished product of what he will be.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. I think that, you know, the team did a good job of drafting a player who not only was kind of polished while he was in college, like, he has a refined game when it comes to his low post moves, when it comes to, you know, getting to his mid-range shot. You know, he can score already, but I think they already see that, you know, he has the potential to grow as a player, because, I mean, he really hasn't developed that outside shot at all. And I think that, I mean, all right, the one thing that I will say about the Kawhi Leonard comparison is that they both have the flattest jumpers I've ever seen in my entire life.
Seriously.
Yeah, so, I mean, but besides that, I mean, I think people are really doing him a disservice by comparing him to Kawhi Leonard. But I think what the Wizards saw in him in that comparison to Kawhi was the physical profile that Rui, you know, he's a legit 6'8", 7'2", wingspan. You know, this is a guy who he fits the physical profile of what the quintessential, I don't know, small ball forward will be going forward. So, like, I don't know, I think that they see a guy who can develop, and I kind of see that too. I know there are a lot of people on Wizards Twitter who aren't happy about it, but I mean, I think that the overall, like as far as the number nine draft pick goes, a player that I would probably compare him to would be like Harrison Barnes almost. But it's like Harrison Barnes isn't going to be a superstar, but in a what was considered to be a weak draft, to get a player of that quality at number nine, I mean, I think the Wizards would be lucky.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a win. And like the only if you didn't want the Wizards to draft Hachimura at nine, right? Like, you have to tell me who was a better option, right? Like, we could talk about Sekou Doumbouya and like the things that he brings, but he's also incredibly raw as a player, just like Hachimura, and we haven't seen too much of him in a professional stage, right? Whereas like you could say the same about Hachimura, but we have a 3-year sample size of him just continuing to improve.
Yeah,
like Gonzaga,
I mean,
right?
The trajectory arrow is definitely heading up with him. Like, you know, every year to go from a guy who was barely playing basketball to, you know, playing for, you know, FIBA for the Japan team, getting them recognition, and, you know, going to Gonzaga and literally improving his stats every year, and with Gonzaga being, you know, a winning basketball program, I think that also matters too. He's not just out there, you know, putting up empty stats. You know, he's out there playing for a top-notch program. You know, they beat Duke last year, you know, with Zion, with Cam, you know, with R.J. Barrett. So I think that he has a lot of potential to play a winning brand of basketball, you know, and the Wizards just have to rely on, you know, Coach David Atkins and Ryan Richmond and the rest of those guys to be able to, you know, develop him and coach him up. But, I mean, Rui wasn't the only draft pick that the Wizards had. They also drafted Admiral Schofield in the second round. They acquired that pick via a trade from Philadelphia. My guy Tommy Shepard is already making a lot of moves around the edges, making sure that, you know, instead of giving away second-round picks, he's already acquired you know, 3 second-round picks that they didn't have. So, you know, this is a total reverse from the Ernie Grunfeld era. But what have you thought about Admiral Schofield so far?
First of all, when that pick dropped, I wanted this dude from day one. Like, since basketball season. Like, that's been my guy. Like, he, first of all, like, his build is just crazy, right? Like,
he's built like a defensive end for sure.
Right. He should be a good defender at the very least on the NBA level, right? And then, like, when you see how deep his 3-point range is, so, like, this dude could be the quintessential 3-and-D prospect, right? That the Wizards have been looking for years, right?
Yeah.
Like a guy who does it on both ends. That can play, that doesn't have to be a starter, that's going to come in, do his work, lunch pail, do all that. All the things that people love to talk about and the team didn't have last year. Like, he is exactly that. So it was a home run for me personally. And just on the note of Tommy Shepard just scooping up all these second-round picks, like, it is absolutely a breath of fresh air. That this is happening. Like, we haven't seen this ever, really.
Yeah, I mean, that you're literally right. We literally have not seen this when it comes to the Wizards coming out here, how they treat the draft, how they treat their assets. So, like you said, it's literally a breath of fresh air to have a GM or interim GM who's able to come in and just have a different perspective and to put higher value on some of these assets. And so what you get when you take an Admiral Schofield in the second round is, like, you're getting a very cheap flyer on, you know, a prospect that if he turns out to be a 3-and-D player, you know, they've got him locked up for 3 years at $1 million, like, you know, that's the type of cheap labor that they need to have in order to, you know, kind of build around their salary cap problems. You know, they're still, you know, paying John Wall all that money. They still got Yamahimi. They still got Bradley Beal, who's also a max player. So it's not like they have a lot of money to be going out here and throwing at players. They need to find 2 or 3 quality rotation players who they can get on very cheap contracts. And I think Schofield is a very good bet for them to be able to do that because, number one, I think that we can already see that they're trying to change the culture with the team, so they're drafting good character guys. So whereas you have Admiral Schofield who's coming in and he's replacing a Devin Robinson, who was a two-way contract player, who, you know, a guy who they were developing. I'm sure Admiral Schofield will play, you know, with the go-go next year as well as he continues to develop. But, you know, a guy like Devin who is – he didn't really get that opportunity and, you know, ended up being released from the team after getting, you know, to a fight into a nightclub. I don't think that, you know, the guys that they drafted now are the, you know, trying to be fighting outside of DC clubs type of guys.
Right. Yeah, which is like – and you've been in a building, right? Like, that's all they've literally talked about, right? All Tommy and his guys have talked about is building a culture, taking a reset, doing something new, developing new guys, and building a system that they can work in. That works for everyone, right? And not just like the people at the top, which is like exactly how well-run organizations do things. So like this is extremely encouraging. It should be extremely encouraging for for Wizards fans.
Exactly. We finally get to see how a real organization is run.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But so not only did they draft two players, they also picked up two very high-priority undrafted players, the first being Justin Robinson, who was the point guard from Virginia Tech last year. He's a DMV native. Shout-out to the Virginia. people always forget about Virginia when it comes to the DMV. And, you know, he talked about at his introductory press conference at the summer minicamp, he talked about being a season ticket holder back in the day and going to go see Gilbert Arenas. So, you know, I'm sure that this is a good fit for him to come home and, you know, be able to play in front of his family. So Justin Robinson and then Garrison Matthews is a guy who, you know, that I don't think a lot of people really knew about. He was drafted out of Lipscomb University. And, you know, the guy can shoot the basketball. So what did you see from Justin Robinson and Garrison Matthews in summer league that you might find encouraging?
Just like you said with Matthews, just how he was able to shoot the ball so well, and just like him, like that's also another thing that was irritating on the team last season is that they don't have a lot of dudes who, one, can shoot, two, know how to move without the ball, right? And Matthews kind of fits in that mold. And as far as Robinson, like I've always loved him as a player. Like they just hit on so many things on draft night, and Robinson signing him immediately after the draft was another thing that I just thought was extremely good. It's just man, a lot of encouraging moves as far as the draft goes. I think Robinson, like he'll probably play with the go-go mostly next season. But like I think at some point, like if this works well, like he can become a rotation player in the NBA at some point. Maybe it might not even be here, but like just to have that kind of player in your hands, like you just said, cheap labor that you can craft and mold into what you want into your system. Like that's always the plus. And I think both of those guys kind of fit that mold for what the Wizards want. And like, if it doesn't work out, it's cool. It's fine. But,
yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
You take the flyer.
Yeah, shout out to the Capital City Go-Go because I think that, you know, the Wizards are doing a good job of trying to develop their talent, you know, with their first year of having a G League franchise. Last year, they signed Chris Chioza as a priority undrafted free agent, and he played quite well for the Go-Go last year, played so well, in fact, that, you know, he ended up getting a contract with the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like you said, with Robinson, maybe he doesn't – you know, have a career here in D.C. Obviously, we would like to have that. But a part of what they're trying to do right now is develop more young talent through the Capital City Go-Go. And they're already off to a good start with that.
Yeah, man. It is draft night just was amazing.
Like we said, man, it's just good to to see them actually making smart moves, picking up extra picks, you know, using sports science and data to, you know, draft Rui. Like this, I mean, they're just thinking outside the box right now, which was, you know, something that I don't think they were ever doing before.
It's crazy that thinking outside the box is like being a modern organization.
Yeah, welcome to the 21st century, Wizards. Another thinking outside the box move was when they took on the salary from the Los Angeles Lakers in a trade that brought them three players, Mo Wagner, Jamario Jones, and Isaac Bonga. I think that was another one of those, you know, kind of fringe moves that Tommy was able to make. You know, he saw a situation, he's looking around at the landscape of the NBA. He sees that, oh, the Lakers, they have to get rid of, you know, a certain amount of salary. You know, we're putting ourselves in a position to pick up a player that they really liked last year in the draft. They brought in Mo Wagner for a couple of workouts, and, you know, they had a lot of interest in him. So I think any time that they're able to run that trade and pick up, you know, three free assets, and they also picked up a second-round draft pick in the 2022 draft, what should be one of the deepest drafts in recent memory, because that's the year that they're expected to allow high school players to enter the NBA draft. So really it'll be a double talent pool of players. So I think that that's an underrated aspect of that deal. But, you know, for the tangible for right now, picking up those three players, what do you think about Wagner, Jones, and Isaac Bonga? And also, what do you think about the move in general of just, you know, inserting yourself into the national NBA conversation, taking on money for another team, and, you know, just taking a free flyer on a couple of players?
Yeah, a lot of people were irritated by this deal for whatever reason. I guess it was because, like, they were helping the Lakers maneuver things so that this Anthony Davis trade could go smoothly, I guess. But like you just said, like, this is another move that's just kind of on the margins. It's low-key. Like, nobody – when people think about the Anthony Davis trade, nobody's going to think about the Wizards, right? But, like, at the end of the day, they got a dude that they wanted to draft last year, right, and two other dudes that are flyers but could end up being pretty good players for them, right? Like, I mean, everybody after the trade, right, like, everybody was looking at the video of Lou Williams talking about how Jamario Jones just, like, shut him down in practice, right? And everybody was kind of hyped. But, like, and he may never do that on the big stage at the NBA level, right? But at the end of the day, like, take that chance, right? If you can slide in this trade for literally nothing, get three prospects and a second round pick out of it, there's absolutely, like, you should do that. You should absolutely 100% do that. And so, like, this was perfect.
Max, stop it, Mike. You're on here making too much sense, man. The people don't want that, man. People want you talking about why are we helping out the Lakers. Now, I'm not gonna lie though. If us taking on that salary would have helped the Lakers get Kawhi Leonard, that would have been something different. But luckily, you know, if we gave them cap space so they can go out and sign Danny Green and JaVale McGee and Rondo and Quinn Cook, you know what I'm saying? that's just the cost of doing business in the NBA.
Man, honestly, bro, it's like if they got Kawhi, like, I still wouldn't care. Like, it would be fine to me. Like, it doesn't matter. The Wizards would be trash anyway, right? Like, they're a team that is working their way back into the conversation. And, like, when you're down, you kind of got to stay. Like, it's that phrase that we millennials like, right? The whole stay low and build thing. Like,
yep,
that's what they're doing. They're staying low, building a team. And that's part of the cost of doing business. So, hey, man, Lakers, do what y'all want to do. But at the end of the day, we got three dudes that we like and a second-round pick. Like, for an organization, like, from an organizational standpoint, like, you can't beat that.
Yeah, man. Hey, shout out to staying low and building out here, man. Everybody, keep your losses off the internet, people. That's a whole another subject for a whole another day, man. But let's see. The Wizards also made a couple of other trades. They traded Dwight Howard to Memphis, and they acquired C.J. Miles. And
then I don't know how they pulled that off.
I don't know how they pulled that off either, but you know, apparently Dwight Howard's contract, he came through last year with that corny joke talking about how, you know, all the different teams he played for. You know, I guess he can go ahead and add his cup of coffee in Memphis to that little joke. But, you know, they were able to get C.J. Miles. And then the team also used one of their trade exceptions in a trade with the San Antonio Spurs and picked up Davis Bertans. So I think the thing with Miles and Bertans, with those acquisitions, is that they're both shooters. So right. It's good to, you know, to finally, you know, try to put together a roster around Beal and, you know, maybe potentially Wall in the future, of just having guys who know how to play, who know how to shoot. And, you know, this is the roster that they probably should have been building when they were actually competing for the playoffs. But, I mean, it'll be good to see them kind of change their style of play. What do you think about the addition of Bertans and C.J. Miles?
Great additions. Just, again, like, just sneaky little moves that – you know, but you don't normally see from this team. I'm not going to lie to you, though. Like, the first thing that I was thinking was, like, fam, I had John Wall healthy for how many years? And couldn't get this man to stretch for. And look, here's Bertans coming through. Here's C.J. Miles coming through. Like, it's about time that they made these moves, right? Maybe it's a little too late. It's also part of the reason why, like, I don't think they're going to be as bad as a lot of people think they're going to be, because C.J. Miles is a pretty good player. Bertans is a really good player, but like a lot of people don't watch the Spurs, so like they don't really know how good he is. Like I don't know if this team, like I wouldn't call this team a playoff team at this point, but like they do have actual rotation players. They're not just a team of G League dudes, right? Like they got Bradley Beal, some scraps. And then the G League dudes, but like the scraps are worth something. So like I think these were really good moves.
Yeah, I mean I don't, like you said, I don't think that they're going to be a playoff team. But I mean I've been seeing a lot of disrespect on the internet with people talking about what the Wizards win total is going to be next year. And you know I think that that starts with the disrespect that came from Vegas, where the Wizards have a 27.5 game win total. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. I know you're not a betting man, but if you were, would you take over
I would be, but
or
I'm
under
poor.
On 27.5 wins for the Wizards next season?
That's tough. They won 32 last year with a scrap heap of guys. So I'm going to go over, but, like, not too far over, honestly. I don't see – I mean, it all depends on Thomas Bryant and Troy Brown, right? Like, if those guys take another leap from what they were last year, then I think this team could be really good. But like if they regress at all, if they get a little bit worse or stay the same, then I think the team will probably be about the same. But like the thing is, like they have Bradley Beal, who was like a literally one guard spot away from being on the All NBA team, right? And so that means like you got one of the best 20 players in the NBA. Just there about, like, somewhere in that range. And, like, I don't think – like, it's hard to lose less than 27.5 games. Or it's hard to win less than 27.5 games.
Yeah, I mean, especially with a player of the quality of Bradley Beal on your team. Like, when you look at having, you know, fringe all-NBA players or even all-NBA player, and we're assuming that Beal can even, you know, take a next step in his game – like, those type of players, unless he gets hurt, like, or they trade him, like, they're not going to win 20 games. Like, this isn't Devin Booker in the Phoenix Suns. Like,
right.
That, you know, he's past that stage of his career. Like, that's,
right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, we better hope that they don't come out here and win no 15 games next year. Because if not, you know, your man Bill's going to be looking at that. He's going to be thinking, what's his next move? Because, you know, that's just not enough. Like, the Wizards, I think that more so as far as competing and trying to make the playoffs next year, they need to be competing and trying to sell Bradley Beal on, you know, wanting to stay with this franchise, that, you know, that he's not going to be wasting the prime years of his career. So
right.
I think that, you know, I mean, 27.5 wins, you know, if they don't win that, we got some whole other problems on our hands. But, I mean, one of the problems that will definitely arise, like I said, is being able to show Bill that, you know, this is a team that he'll want to actually play for. So, but this gets to my next topic, and probably one of the more important Wizards topics right now is what to do with Bradley Beal. So it's kind of a tricky situation because, you know, there are little things that could be triggered. Like a Woj reported a couple of weeks ago that the Wizards were potentially offering Bradley Beal a 3-year, $111 million contract extension with the fact that he has 2 years left on his deal. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I think that you and I might be in the same camp of I don't really see Beal taking that deal just because there's opportunities for more money out there. Like, even if he doesn't make All-NBA next season, he can still come back and sign a full 5-year deal and get more money. So it just really doesn't make much sense for him to sign up for 3 extra years for a losing team without really seeing the direction of the franchise. I just don't logically see him doing that. But the next question arises, well, what happens if he doesn't take the contract extension? You know, what happens if he comes through this season and they're not happy? Or what happens if he plays well and he makes All-NBA and they have to give him a supermax? I mean, there are a lot of different things that could happen with this. So I just want to get a feel from you as far as what do you want to do with Bill? Like, do you want to keep him no matter what, pay him whatever he wants? How do you want to play out, and how do you envision this playing out?
It's tough, right? Because the point of drafting high, right? The point of tanking is to get a player like Bradley Beal, who is only 26 years old, made his second All-Star team, should have probably made his first All-NBA team, but didn't make the playoffs, so it didn't work out. So that's the talent that you want, right? But on the other hand, it's like, okay, the team that you're putting together, like, I don't know, like, I'm sorry. Like, as much as, like, I love the moves that Tommy Shepard has made so far, and I think, like, if I had to grade him, like, I'd give him, at the very least, like, a B-plus on this offseason. Like, Isaiah Thomas and Smith are not really doing it for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle at the point guard position. But
yeah, it's going to be a struggle.
Bill's going to have to take on more responsibility, man. Like, I know you didn't like when I put out that Harden workload. But, you know, I think if Bill wants to take that next step, he's going to have to show that he can be not only a shot creator for himself, but a playmaker for others.
Right. And my thing on that was, like, I don't know. It's not that I didn't like it, per se. It's just, like, I need it to look different for him. Like I don't think, like, Bradley Beal's not the dude that's going to dribble 20 times and hit a step back three, right? Like, I don't think he can be the ISO player that Harden is. Not to say that he's not good at ISO ball, but, like, I just don't think that's where he's best at. But, like, again, like, he's only 26 years old. So, like, he could end up being that. Like, he could end up being something like that or whatever. Like, he could be great. But I just think that they have to, like, there has to be, you don't have to decide on Bradley Beal right now. Right, but, like, you do have to show him that there is a direction. You have to lay out, like, exact concrete plans for him to be like, okay, like, I think this is the right move for me. I love DC enough to stay here. I'm not gonna sign this 3-year, $111 million extension because I'm gonna get more money next year by signing the extension. But, you know,
yeah,
there has to be something.
I think that, yeah, I just don't want to get – I want to temper expectations. I don't want people getting upset when he doesn't sign the extension and, you know, going into panic mode. You know, this is business here. And, you know, he's got one of the best agents in the business. Shout out Mark Bartlestein. You know, your man was getting every client he had to bag this summer. So you think he's going to tell one of his best clients to take less money a year in advance like that? That's just not good. That's not how
it's not good business. It's not good business.
Yeah,
not good business. So, I honestly, like, this extension is kind of like, I don't think the Wizards should offer it. Like, it's just, it to me, it's kind of disrespectful. in a way to offer this dude this extension right now. Like, you know he's not gonna sign it, and it's like you're giving him the ultimatum of like, this is how it looks, right? Exactly. You make him have to say no, and then that's when like you say, all right, you said no, you don't like the vision, so this is when we'll move you, right? And like you've heard, I've heard, everyone has heard that like they have no intentions of trading Bradley Beal, right? But like after July 30th, when he says no to this extension, does that change? Like, do they use that as a means to say he didn't like what he was seeing, so we were ready to move on from him? If that's the case, then I'm like, that's not good business on the Wizards part, in my opinion. But
yeah, I think one of the things that we have to talk about here is, you know, I like what you said about they don't really have to make a decision right now. You know, they can kind of just let things play out. And I feel like under the Tommy Shepherd era, like, he has a little bit more of the emotional intelligence to be able to kind of feel out the situation. So as long as everybody's on the same page right now, you know, there's not really a reason to make any moves. There's no reason to trade Brad. Like you said, like teams get acquire assets and draft picks so they could get a Bradley Beal. We already have Bradley Beal. So I think that, you know, they can just let the situation play out how it's supposed to throughout the season. And then once something changes, you know, they have to have the emotional intelligence to be able to, you know, decipher whether they think they can salvage the situation or whether they should probably, you know, try to act quickly and, you know, trade them just to get as much as they can. I trust Tommy Shepherd to be able to, you know, kind of navigate his way through this situation. But, I mean, I agree with what you said. I don't think it's something that they have to necessarily address at this moment.
Right. And like, that's the thing about the NBA right now, right? Like, we got Paul George requesting a trade 3 years before his deal expires. And I think that's like a unique circumstance, specifically because of the luxury tax bill that Oklahoma City was going to see. But like, we're in this era where like there's like perpetual free agency, right? Which like I'm honestly like all for, like, because like I'm all about player empowerment. But like, also on the other hand, organizations don't really have to make a move with you if you're still under contract for a couple years. So like, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes it's just worth waiting around to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bradley Beal is a player. He's shown that he's good enough that he's worth the wait. So if
for
we
sure.
gotta wait it out, you know, we gotta wait until see what happens all the way through next season, all the way through the old NBA vote. You know, I think that's what we're gonna have to do. And like you said, I mean, he's under contract. So it's not like they have to make a move, you know. I think that, you know, let's see how this works out on the court and see if Beal can, you know, kind of take it to the next level. So, but like, one of the things that I touched on is, you know, Beal trying to see, this relationship is twofold because Beal is looking at the organization and what they're doing, and he's also, I think he's mentioned that he wants to see, you know, the direction the franchise is going in. And, you know, and he's the same one who, you know, reportedly had the phrase at that infamous practice from last year, you know, where he looked over and said it starts at the top,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that right now he's curious, just like everybody else, to see, you know, what exactly is going on at the top. So let's talk about the Wizards GM search or lack thereof. You know, the communication between Ted Leonsis and Monumental Sports, and not only the media members, but the fans, as to what is really going on with this GM search. How do you feel about the way the team has handled the GM search so far? And also, do you think that Tommy Shepherd could be a viable candidate to have the interim tag removed and to, you know, just be able to run the show?
I think it's Tommy Shepherd's job to lose at this point. Like, he should be the GM of the team, right?
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, after two other people have already turned them down, Tim Connelly, they lowball offered him, and then they tried
crazy.
To get Masai, or apparently maybe they didn't try to get Masai. Who knows what?
We don't know.
we don't know. But I mean, you know, in a game of musical chairs, the music has stopped, and, you know, Tommy Shepard seems to be the last man here. So I think that, you know, I think it's his job to lose. But what do you think about the way the team has handled the situation of, you know, the GM search from the day they fired Ernie 3 months ago to, you know, interviewing candidates and, you know, bringing people in for multiple interviews and then still dragging this thing out and not having come to a resolution?
It has been extremely poor. that's putting it kindly, to be honest with you. Like, they started – so, like, I was at this sports betting summit at the MGM Grand, like, the week after they had fired Ernie Grunfeld, and Ted had told the crowds that, like, that he had started – actually, like, he had hired a consulting service to look for a GM maybe a few weeks before they had actually announced that Ernie was out of here. And so, like, they've been looking for months now, right? And, like, they use the same service that the Pelicans use to hire David Griffin.
Yeah, and David Griffin's already coming in working miracles, and the only person getting worked over here is the Wizards, is the consultant, and he's just collecting them checks from Ted.
Man,
we're not seeing any results from that.
there's nothing. There's nobody. Like, you interview three dudes, right? Like, you interview Danny Ferry, Troy Weaver, and who's the other guy?
Shoot, I mean, the only other guy really is Tommy.
It's Tommy, right? Like, that was it? So I'm just adding a mystery ghost guy. And then, like, we all knew about Tim Connelly, right? And then, like you said, they lowball him, which makes absolutely no sense when you're trying to pry a dude from another organization that literally has one of the best 10 players in the world. But okay, so we go from there to, you know, the reports about potentially trying to woo Masai away from the Raptors as they're going to the NBA Finals and winning their team's first championship, and so it's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, at this point, everyone's been hired up. Everybody has a job, right? Either everybody has a job, or people are settling into their jobs, and the new league year started, and everybody's focused on the work that they need to do to prepare to make their teams the best for next season. And all you're left with is Tommy Shepard. Like, to his credit, he's done an excellent job, in my opinion, so far. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, like, how are you going to – is he going to have this interim tag into the season? Like, is this going to be how it is? Could he lose his job at any point in time? And if so, like, how do you expect him to do his job well at that point? Like, it's just a mess. There's so much that is just not good with this. And, like, Ted Leonsis is, like, known for having, like, this galaxy brain way of thinking, which is, like, to his credit, like, has gotten him to where he is. Like, he's a billionaire. Like, I'm not going to call the dude dumb. Like, he's not dumb or anything like that. But like, this, I just don't see how this GM search has been good practice from a business perspective for this organization. Like, it's just been all bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. I think they've kind of bungled this, the GM search. And I think one of the reasons why they've messed it up is the lack of communication. I think that, you know, if it would be one thing if the, you know, fans and the media members could assume that the Wizards had some things brewing up under their sleeves, if, you know, if there was any indication that, you know, Tommy could potentially be taken over. But, I mean, there hasn't been any communication. So, I mean, we can only judge by what we see and what we know. And, you know, that's that, you know, the team looks like they're in disarray. We see them lowballing, offering people. We see other people turning them down. Other teams who had GM vacancies, you know, acquire smart and talented people and, you know, establishing a culture there and you know, pointing their trajectory arrows you know, going forward. And we just, I feel like we're just kind of running on a treadmill, just staying in place. And that's kind of doing a disservice to the Wizards fans. And I really just don't understand why Teleontis can't realize that. Like you said, he's a smart guy, but I just don't understand, like, how he doesn't – he takes so much heat on the internet, and a lot of it is unnecessarily, like, unnecessary heat. You know, people just, you know – I remember people used to be fire Ernie on every tweet that, you know, Teleontis would have. You make a tweet out condolences to his, you know, to his uncle that passed away, and people be like, yo, man, fire Ernie. Up under there. So, like, you know, I understand that, like, some of, you know, the pushback that he gets from the fans is kind of unwarranted. But in this situation, I mean, every complaint that they have is completely valid. And I just don't see how he doesn't see that or realize that.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom that, like, he's happy with the way that things have gone so far, right? Like, You're putting, not only do you not, you know, you haven't determined who your candidate is or who you want to run your organization, but you're also putting the guy who runs your organization in an incredibly difficult spot, right? Like, how, as an interim GM, like, we were just talking about, you know, the decision to move Bradley Beal or not, right? Like, how, as an interim GM, do you make that decision?
Like, yeah.
Are you empowered to make that decision to move the team's best player right now?
Yeah, I don't think that an interim GM would be empowered to make a move like that. So, which is probably even more of a reason why Brad ain't going nowhere. So, you know,
yeah.
I think that eventually, I think the way that it'll play out, my prediction is that they'll probably hire Tommy Shepard as the president of basketball operations. And I still believe that – I think that Ted wants to try to open up a new spot and get more people in. I think that when we look at what the Wizards, the way their organization is structured, you know, they really don't have a lot of staff members, you know, whereas other teams
right.
have, you know, a team president, a GM, a vice president of basketball operations, a vice president of basketball analytics and scouting head and all the – like – you know, the Wizards have, you know, they've got a few guys. They got Tommy Shepard right now. They got my guy Brett Greenberg, who runs the analytics department. My guy Frank Ross is the head of scouting. You know, and then they have, you know, people who, like, work underneath of them. But I think that it would be good to open up another spot and maybe bring in a Troy Weaver or a Danny Ferry or somebody like that to work along with Tommy Shepard. And, you know, kind of help turn this thing around.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, I think that's probably what they should have been doing this entire time. But again, like, it's just hard to pinpoint a direction for this search and for this team right now. Like, that makes the most sense to me. But like, I don't know if that's what they're thinking. Like, that's what it sounds like when Ted spoke to Chris Miller in May or whatever, like, that's what it sounded like he wanted to do, but I don't know. Like,
exactly. They haven't communicated that at all to us. So who knows what they really want to do? We can't think for them. They definitely don't deserve that from us. So
for sure.
Yep.
For sure.
But yeah, man, either way, man, I'm excited to see what the Wizards are going to be able to do for this year. You know, I'm a little bit more optimistic than most, but, you know, I think that it'll be very interesting to see how this thing plays out on so many fronts. You know, what happens with the GM search? You know, what happens with, you know, Bradley Beal? Do they trade him, or does he take that next step? You know, what happens with the Rui draft pick? You know, we spent almost, you know, 45 minutes sitting here talking, and we haven't even mentioned John Wall. So, you know, I think I'm curious to see what's going to happen with him. I know, you know, he's going to try to want to play next year. So I think that the story of the 2019-2020 Wizards has definitely not been written, and there are a vast different outcome possibilities that can come from their season. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I'm definitely excited to be back down there covering games. I know you're going to try to come down there as much as possible. They Axios is working you to death, man. But you know what? you pop up when you can. Give everybody the dope sneakerhead advice. You know what I'm saying? I got the fresh heat on.
I do my best, man.
Hey man, I'm trying to be like you when I grow up, man.
Chill out.
With my sneaker game, man.
I'm definitely making my way. Definitely, this season is too interesting for me to not be down there. So.
Exactly. Well, man, I appreciate you for coming on, man. Go ahead, plug your stuff. Where can the people find you and check
for
out
sure.
your work, Mike?
You can find me at Axios.com writing about sports. Go subscribe to the Axios Sports newsletter. If you go to Axios.com and the newsletters, then you click on Axios Sports, you can subscribe. I also want to give a big shout-out to my folks at Bullish Forever. Shout-out to Albert Lee, who is now the managing editor of the site and is giving us excellent WNBA Mystics content. So go to bulletsforever.com, read all that, and get smarter about the Wizards.
Yeah, get smarter, and talk to each other nice on the internet too, people, man. It's
please.
Just
y'all are too hostile.
Nice.
Way too hostile right now. Like, chill out.
Exactly. You see Mike interacting, talking nice to people. Follow suit with that, man, y'all.
I do my best.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, man. I greatly appreciate you coming on, man. We're gonna have to do this more often.